right, so let's talk about today's fun topic, which is, can a Catholic attend a gay wedding? Can a Catholic attend an invalid wedding in general? This isn't going to be limited only to gay weddings. We're going to be talking about all types of weddings. I'm going to get into some different examples, as I mentioned earlier. And so we'll talk through some different, examples. I'm going to have some stuff that's going to surprise you. I think here with some samples that I brought up and doing, or that came up in doing my research. And just want to say, this was kind of sparked by a lot of different things. I have a personal example, which I may or may not get into today. And we'll share maybe some of that. But this is something that is, I'm so passionate about this topic because it's something that is just so often brought up. Whenever you are placed in this circumstance where you are being bold or sharing about your faith, obviously we have a great example of that in Mr. Butker, Harrison Butker. Now, this isn't a debate or discussion on his recent commencement speech. I would imagine if you hate it, you probably don't listen to a ton of Seeking Excellence anyways, but perhaps there are some people here that didn't love it, which is totally fine. I think it's important for us to be able to have conversations and debates and discussions on things like that. So that is okay. But I think regardless, you can at least appreciate, hopefully, that it took a lot of courage to say what he said and to speak about our faith so boldly. It's uncommon, and it takes a lot of courage. And I know I, for one, certainly have a lot of respect for that, the fact that it does take courage to speak up. I've done it. And so whenever you say things like that, whenever you talk about some of these topics, what often gets brought back, sometimes very maliciously, say with something like abortion, where they'll say, I wish you were aborted, or I wish your wife would get an abortion. Like, you'll get some really, really ugly feedback. The several steps down from that is people wishing it on you in different ways that don't necessarily, end a life, but something like you're speaking out, defending the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman, and somebody reaches out and says, I hope your son or your daughter, you end up having a gay child. Or I think several steps down from that, the more likely experience you're going to have face to face is somebody will say, well, what if your son or daughter ended up being gay? Would you go to their wedding? What then? And the reality is this, and I think it's interesting because the Butker situation really brought this up for Emily and I in discussion last week, because of the fact that you see, she's seen so many people that she went to college with who, in college were a part of ministry, or at least were just faithful Catholics that left college and are no longer practicing the faith. One of the biggest catalysts, anecdotally, from my experience of what I've seen and what Emily's seen and what some of our other friends and, people have seen in our life, is one of the biggest catalysts for people falling away from the faith is either a family member or a friend, especially a close friend, who comes out as gay. And they feel this need to try to reconcile that with their faith. They're unable to do so, and they end up leaving the church because they realize, in their mind, they come to this conclusion that the church is bigoted, hateful, homophobic, transphobic, you name it. So whenever you have somebody that's in that circumstance, a lot of times people end up falling away from their faith. Now, a lot of that is due to poor catechesis, right? Where people don't actually know and understand that the church does not teach that we should hate gay people. Church does not teach that we should hate divorced people. None of that is the case. And we'll get into some of that today of why we why there's certain circumstances where we'd encourage you to go to the wedding and why there's certain circumstances where we would not. And I'm going to get into both. I'm going to talk about both of those things, but you just see this so often and it can be so frustrating because people will throw this back in your face as though what's frustrating about it for me, I think especially as a man, is you're assuming that my morality is based on my emotions. And it's not, and it shouldn't be, right? If something is true, if you think that something is wrong, it affecting your inner circle does not change the morality of it. This is part of the issue with the relativism of our age, right? Is that, yes, for a long time, I thought this was the truth. Then that truth no longer aligned with my emotions and what I felt. Not what I thought, not what I reasoned to, but what I felt was right in my heart. And people just decide to become their own pope. And so some will leave the church and remain Christian. Others will just, quote unquote, deconstruct completely and just totally walk away from Christianity, from Jesus in general. Neither are good options. So it's not like one's better than the other. You don't want to leave your faith at all. You shouldn't leave the church. But it's really sad to see how common this is, which is why I want to talk about it And I'm mostly talking about it to you today to form you, obviously, in making your own decisions, but also so that we can pass this on, so we can pass this knowledge on of discerning and knowing when in an invalid marriage situation. I'm going to explain what that means in a second. We can talk about when we should attend the wedding and when we should not attend the wedding. And so I'm going to cover whether Catholics should attend invalid weddings as a whole. It'll include things like gay weddings. It'll also include weddings of Catholics getting married outside the church in any capacity, right? So this quote, this term of invalid weddings is a wedding that is not done in a Catholic wedding ceremony for Catholics, right? A Catholic can attend a wedding of a Protestant that's done in a Protestant church. Nothing wrong with that. A Catholic can attend two non-Christians getting married civilly or in some type of wedding ceremony on the beach or whatever it is. The restrictions come in when you're talking about a Catholic getting married. And this Catholic could be getting married to a Catholic or a non-Catholic if there is one Catholic spouse involved. So sometimes this will happen where I have, I went to one that I probably shouldn't have gone to looking back on it, where I had a friend whose wife I believe was baptized Catholic. I'm unsure of the exact details. I didn't find out really until after. I kind of had a hunch beforehand and really chose not to look into it further. They got married in like a Protestant ceremony, but that may have been a circumstance where maybe I shouldn't have gone. We can talk about whether I should have or shouldn't have. And so this isn't coming from a place of like, oh, I'm better than you. I've crushed this. I've been perfect at this. It's a place of learning. And I think we don't talk about it enough because I wish I would have been better formed at the time to be able to have, you know, maybe a challenging conversation there that could have led to a conversion. So we'll talk about all these different circumstances, but Catholics are called to get married. When you're Catholic, you have different responsibilities, right? A great example of this I've heard is like when you are an American citizen, there is a process that you can go through to like rebuke your citizenship. I'm pretty sure you can like get rid of it, but you have to like go through that process. There technically is no process like that for Catholics. And so the same way that I can't just, you know, Michael Scott this thing and say, I declare bankruptcy, right? Like that's not how it works of just like, I'm not Catholic anymore. And suddenly you're not Catholic. Like when you are baptized Catholic, my brother or sister in Christ, I have good news and I have bad news. You're Catholic forever. At least as far as concerns your citizenship within the church. Now you may be mortally sinful, cutting yourself off from God, rejected everything. Sure. But the code of canon law, all of that still applies. And I think this goes to point out, it's a good example of why, you know, so many people will say, why is, you know, RCIA such a pain in the ass? Why do you have to go, if I want to get baptized, if somebody wants to get baptized, why don't we just baptize them? Why do we have to go through all this class and all this other stuff? And it's like, well, because when you become Catholic, it's a very big deal. It's not like the non-denominational churches where we just think we baptize you and at that point you're saved forever and so you're just Gucci. And whatever we get in on the backside is kind of bonus, right? If we're able to kind of teach you a few things about what it actually means to be Christian, that's a bonus, but it's not necessary. That is not the perspective of the church. The church believes that there's a lot of things we have to continue to do in order to continue, as St. Paul says, working out our salvation with God. And so the sacraments help us to get there. Our community help us to get there. Prayer obviously helps us to get there. The moral life, professing the creed, you know, believing what we believe as a church, all of that contributes to our salvation, to our sanctification. And so we want to go through all of that before we ask you to commit. Why don't we allow people to receive communion when they're non-Catholic but at Mass, even if they believe or they profess that they believe in the true presence of the Eucharist? It's because when I say amen, when he says the body of Christ, I'm accepting the entirety of Catholicism in receiving the Eucharist. I'm saying, amen, this is the body of Christ. This is Jesus Christ who founded the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I profess and believe all that the church teaches and believes, and I'm striving to live a life that is moral and good. I'm not in a state of mortal sin, which is why I present myself for communion. You can't be non-Catholic and not be in a state of mortal sin. As far as the church is concerned, now I don't want to get into, you know, I don't want to get too deep into that. I think I don't know the like deep theological, you know, distinction there of like can you be in a state of grace as a non-Catholic? Because there's obviously a lot of holy people, holy men and women out there, I think, that are Protestant. But we consider missing Mass as a Catholic a mortal sin. We consider not going to confession, right, is a mortal sin for non-Catholics. So maybe you can be in a state of grace, because I guess some of those things are mortal sins for Catholics. I don't know that. I wonder if the church would say that it's a mortal sin for a non-Catholic to go to confession. Technically, they can't go to confession. So would it be a mortal sin? I don't know. But you would still imagine that they'd have sins on their soul that haven't been fully forgiven. I don't know. I can't tell you enough about that. So maybe I retract that statement that the reason why you can't is because you're in a state of mortal sin. But you can't say that you're Catholic. You can't come up and receive the Eucharist, mainly because you're embracing all of Catholicism when you say amen, when you say I believe, when you say yes to the body of Christ there. That I do know for a fact. So that's a big part of it. So anyways, getting back to this, this is why RCIA is such a big deal. This is why we make it so difficult to become Catholic. Because once you're Catholic for life, and different rules, different standards apply to you. So let's talk about some of these situations. Can a Catholic attend a wedding of a non-Catholic outside of the church? I already said yes. But if it's a religious ceremony, this is important to note here. Can a Catholic attend a wedding of two non-Catholics, nobody's Catholic, outside the church? Yes. The place where you want to be careful with some of this, and where some Catholics can get themselves in trouble, is like if you're going to like a Hindu wedding or some other like Sikh wedding, obviously you don't want to go to like, I don't even know, a satanic temple. Like, do they have weddings there? I don't know. It'd be weird. But like some of those religions that can get pretty, pretty sketch pretty quick, even some Buddhist stuff, you know, like you just want to be cautious with what you participate in, right? Just the same way as if you go to a Protestant one and they have communion at the Protestant service for the wedding, which I don't think is very common. But if they do, you don't want to receive it, right? There's a certain sense of scandal there. So you don't want to participate in everything, because you definitely don't want to be out there just like worshiping other gods, be like, YOLO, we're just, you know, we're at the wedding, when in Rome. That is not the vibe. Another situation, can a Catholic attend a wedding of a non-Catholic gay wedding outside the church? Now, this is an interesting one, and I think I want to bring this one back up later. But can a Catholic attend a wedding of a non-Catholic gay wedding? So say, you know, thinking about this topic of a gay wedding, say you have a person who is two people, neither of them baptized Catholic, neither of them baptized at all, let's say, and they want to get married to each other, two men, two women, getting married, and it's not, obviously wouldn't be in the Catholic Church. Then would you be able to attend it? It's an interesting question, and we'll dive back into that one a little bit here. So I'm going to start with a little bit of canon law here. So if you'll, you know, ride with me for a second here, I just want to come out with something up front. This may be a surprise to some of you, but I'm actually not a canon lawyer. Just objectively speaking, not a canon lawyer, not an expert on canon law. So I have this website that I love. It's called canonlawmadeeasy.com. Encourage you to check it out if you never have. Canonlawmadeeasy.com says that canon law is actually silent about this matter. They say that it is a pastoral and a theological question, which is interesting. So canon law does not say that specifically you cannot attend. And I think that's generally the response that I've seen when I did this research on Catholic Answers and other places with apologists or other, you know, just theological minds answering the question, is there, it's hard to say a hard no or a hard yes. Now, I know there's people out there who say absolutely hard no. I'm going to give an example in a little bit. Of, like I mentioned earlier, I was actually kind of shocked by this one example that came up that I was like, yeah, I guess you should attend in that circumstance. I'll share that in a second. But going on here, so again, it's only valid if it's in a Catholic wedding ceremony witnessed by a priest or a deacon. And dispensation, this is interesting too, also important. Dispensation from that is possible from one's bishop if it would lead to grave difficulties. Very important there. If it would lead to grave difficulties, one's bishop can give you a dispensation, which is basically the lifting of the burden or responsibilities placed on one by canon law, by Catholic moral teaching. Not moral teaching, by canon law. Let me just leave it there. So that is a real possibility. Okay, so now let's get into some of the weeds here. We're going to get into some of the weeds here. But first, I just want to tell you, if you are looking for more Seeking Excellence content, say you like this type of content, you're like, man, this is really thought-provoking, this is challenging, it's interesting, The best place to get the most Seeking Excellence content is on our Locals channel. SeekingExcellence.locals.com is where you will find weekly live streams, weekly articles, weekly videos, podcasts, and other resources uploaded there that have helped to form me in these different topics, these different areas, everything from personal finance to relationships to mental toughness to physical fitness to obviously walking the spiritual life and going deeper into this devout life. What Seeking Excellence is an effort to provide you with purpose, direction, and motivation to live out your best life. It's the number one podcast for Catholics who are aspiring to greatness, and I invite you to join us there where you can become a free member or you can join as a supporter. Everything I'm able to do is thanks to my supporters. You know, I have a goal of 100 supporters by September 1st, currently sitting at 51 supporters. And so we'd love to have you join. You can join for as little as $10 a month, or you can do an annual subscription. Either way, when you become a paid subscriber, you will receive a free t-shirt and potentially, if you act right, a free copy of a book that I did book club on recently. All right, without further ado, let's get back to today's episode. So we are assuming that we know that this is an invalid marriage. So this means that, going back to the example there, a bishop can offer you dispensation, which can lift the burdens of canon law placed on a Catholic. But we're talking about, in these cases, not a circumstance like I had a friend whose brother got married outside the church. He's baptized Catholic, but they actually got the bishop to give them a dispensation where a deacon was able to say, you know, witness the wedding, but they did it outside. Now, you're going to have a hard time convincing me in a lot of these circumstances that this is like avoiding grave difficulties for the couple, but that's for the bishops to work out. They got to answer those questions at the end of their lives. But some of this stuff, man, I don't understand with priests and bishops. I think we're like so quick for like annulments, dispensations, all that stuff. Like, we just constantly make the Christian life easier, and it's kind of sad to me. But we're going to go here and we're going to say, we're assuming that you know that it's invalid. Obviously, again, if it's a same-sex couple and one of them's Catholic, you know that it's invalid. We'll get to the two non-Catholics here at the end. But let's also say, you know, you have a cousin, a friend who's getting married outside of the church, and you just know because they're a fallen, 99.9% of the time, if it's a fallen away Catholic who's not going to Mass anymore, they probably have not gone through the effort to write to their bishop and receive a dispensation, right? So you know that this is just disregard to the Catholic faith, and it's an invalid marriage, right? It is a Catholic getting married outside of a Catholic wedding ceremony without dispensation permission from the bishop. So there's a couple of questions. These are simple yes or no questions. Is it a sin to live like you're married when you were not married? And in the eyes of the church, when somebody says an invalid marriage, an invalid wedding ceremony, that means that you are not married in the eyes of the church. I heard this great example from Trent Horn the other day in his debate with Pearly Things about marriage. And he said the government has tried to define marriage and has co-opted marriage as far as they can things like so-called same-sex marriage and other, you know, just making it a legal ceremony rather than a religious institution. But he said they can't co-opt and redefine marriage any more than the government can redefine friendship or can redefine justice. These are things that exist outside. They're found in natural law and they're instituted to us by God, right? So you don't get to just redefine them as a society. So no, just because you're legally married doesn't mean that you're actually married. And this is part of the lack of formation thing that can be really difficult as a Catholic is just so many people, and Catholics included, don't embrace the fact that, like, yes, our beliefs actually mean that we live in a different reality. You know, like, we recognize that every person has a soul. And every person has a soul, even if they think they don't have a soul. Your existence of your soul, the last four things, which is death, judgment, heaven, and hell, they don't only apply to us. They apply to everyone. And everybody will be going to one of those two final destinations based on what they've done with their life, the decisions, the choices that they've made, whether or not they've embraced God in their life, whether they've embraced love in their life. And if they haven't had the opportunity to get baptized and to live out the Christian faith, then at least they will be judged, we believe, by how they acted in accordance with natural law, which is right reason. You know, it's not a surprise that murder is illegal in every country and every society across time, right? Usually stealing is as well. There's certain things that are just written on the human heart that when you do not consistently embrace evil, you're very easy, you're very able to discern those things, right? So is it a sin to live like you're married when you're not married? And in the eyes of the church, if you are a Catholic that gets married, quote unquote, married outside of a Catholic wedding ceremony without dispensation, you are not married. And yes, the answer is yes. It is a sin to live like you're married when you're not married. It's a sin to live with your significant other. It's a sin to obviously fornicate because it's not the marital act when it's outside the context of sacramental marriage. For a Catholic, is it a sin to live in scandal that way, to conceive children and raise them outside of the faith as a Catholic? Yes to all of those things. The next question, is it a sin to live like a married couple if you are in a same-sex relationship? So this is kind of a different path, but the same thing goes there, right? We do believe that, yes, it is a sin to live like a married couple if you were in a same-sex relationship. Whether you are quote-unquote married legally or not, it's still a sin. And we believe that it's a sin. I believe that it's a sin, I would say. I don't know the official church teaching on this or where, you know, if the church even has a teaching on this. I know that the church believes that it's through natural law that you can discern that same-sex relationships are unnatural, are disordered. And how do we know that? Because it's just biology, right? You can just look and say, okay, if you have two people naked together, there's only two that go together, right? The pieces go together. They lead to the reproduction of children. They lead to producing more members of society. They lead to the nuclear family unit, right? That's part of the reason. So you would say that it is still sinful for two people, even non-Catholics, to get quote-unquote married, to be in the same-sex relationship. It's still problematic. And not good for their soul. The next thing is, will that be happening post-wedding ceremony, right? So is it a sin to live like you're married when you're not married? Yes. Will they be doing that? Will this couple whose wedding you're considering attending, will they be doing that post-wedding ceremony? The answer is yes. And are you at the wedding? The next question, are you at the wedding to celebrate this life change with them? Because this is the other thing. So many people will say, oh, you can just go to the wedding and quietly, you know, protest or whatever. And it's like, dude, attending a wedding is consent. You were quite literally there to celebrate the couple, to celebrate what they're doing. You cheer for them, you clap for them, you dance, you drink, you toast. All of it is promoting essentially what they're doing. And the Catechism has specific words on this, especially paragraph 2480, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 2480. Says every word or attitude is forbidden, which by flattery, adulation, or complacence encourages and confirms another in malicious acts and perverse conduct. I think those words are very specific for a reason, and that's why I think they also apply to people who are non-Catholic that are in the same-sex relationship. Adulation is a grave fault, going back to the quote here, adulation is a grave fault if it makes one an accomplice in another's vices or grave sins. Neither the desire to be of service nor friendship justifies duplicitous speech. Let me read that line again. Neither the desire to be of service nor friendship justifies duplicitous speech. Adulation is a venial sin when it only seeks to be agreeable, to avoid evil, to meet a need, or to obtain legitimate advantages. The next thing you have to risk is scandal. And it says, scandal is an attitude or behavior which leads another to do evil. The person who gives scandal becomes his neighbor's tempter. He damages virtue and integrity. He may even draw his brother into spiritual death. Scandal is a grave offense if by deed or omission, another is deliberately led into a grave offense. And the scandal here, I think, is a very real problem. Because for many of us who face these circumstances, these situations, you know, in my personal situation that might be coming up in the next year or so of my life, I'm the only Catholic in this person's life, the only devout Catholic, the only faithful practicing Catholic they know, if I'm the only faithful practicing Catholic remaining in my family or one of, then what I do makes all the more important. Because family members, friends, the younger friends, the kids that are there, they're going to be seeing that. And if there's kids that are there, they're going to see me there celebrating this wedding. And then what, 2 years later, I'm going to be like trying to preach the gospel to them, teaching them that these things are wrong. It doesn't make any sense. And so this is where you get that duplicitous behavior. And so it says, going on here, in paragraph 2285, scandal takes on a particular gravity by reason of the authority of those who cause it or the weakness of those who are scandalized. So think about that again. By the authority of those who cause it or the weakness of those who are scandalized. So the authority meaning, obviously it's great, it's even more great for a priest to like attend a same-sex wedding or something like that. But then also, I think even the authority that you have in that person's life, right? So if you're that person's father, if you're their mother, if you are their confirmation sponsor, if you are their godfather, all of these things. It says here, it prompted our Lord to utter this curse. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. This is the not nice Jesus that you don't hear about as often in today's more progressive circles. It says here, scandal is grave when given by those who by nature or office are obliged to teach and educate others. So again, by nature or by office, so this is really hitting into clergy, even religious, teachers, obviously, or educators, catechists. Jesus reproaches, going back to the quote here, Jesus reproaches the scribes and Pharisees on this account. He likens them to wolves in sheep's clothing. Now there you have it, I think. When your pride or your vanity over whatever, your emotions are taking over and causing you to do something that you feel like is nice, right? You're being nice, but you're actually causing people to sin. It's not good. It's not good at all. So you can think about this here. And there's ways beyond the adulation, all of that. The church teaches that there's 9 ways to participate in sins of another person. Things like defending it, celebrating it, encouraging it, all of these things. We really underestimate the fact that a lot of times we're participating in the sins of another person when we are being affirming in their decisions that we know are sinful and wrong. So now I just want to hit on a few other examples that really kind of give the spectrum here, because as I mentioned, you're going to have different situations. So you have the example I gave earlier of a Catholic who's just getting married outside the church. You have the example of the same-sex wedding. You have the example of a Catholic, let's say they're divorced and getting remarried and they don't have an annulment, right? All of these situations come up, and they come up all the time for us Catholics. The important thing you need to think about is if you believe you've been convinced by what I just said, I'm going to get into the example that of my exception that I think could be a potential exception here next. But if you've been convinced of what I've said so far, that if you know it's invalid, you know that it's sinful, and you have all of these situations, then you have to make that decision before the emotional situation comes up. And I've talked about this many times in my life. You have to choose your morality before your morality gets tested. This is why we talk about these things. This is why it's so stupid when people say, oh, in polite society, we shouldn't talk about that. We shouldn't bring that up. Well, what the hell do you do when it comes up? Because if you don't ever think about this stuff before it happens, then when it does happen, you're like, you're going to be just swayed by your emotions, by the heat of the moment. But when you can make the decision beforehand that, okay, if a family member invites us to a same-sex wedding, we are not going to attend that wedding. If we have a family member who's Catholic that gets married outside the church, we are not going to attend that wedding, excluding any other circumstances. And so let's talk about this. So it actually comes from the Diocese of Allentown when I was doing my research in Pennsylvania. They gave this example of a couple. So they gave one example that's more reasonable that you could say, oh, maybe I'd go to that wedding. And then a second one that's like, yeah, we definitely should not go to this wedding, right? And so they also give a differentiation in levels of participation. So last couple things here. So the example that he gave that kind of made me think that I might go is they said, think about this. If you had, and this is where the Canon Law Made Easy talked about this being a pastoral and theological question. Meaning, when you say it's pastoral, that means that it does require some thought and consideration to the circumstances. why you want to decide in advance is you don't want to overly weight the circumstances in the present moment. You also don't want to give stupid reasons power. But he says here, think about this. You have a couple, maybe it's a distant childhood friend of yours. You find out that they were raised Catholic, but very poorly, right? They were baptized Catholic, basically, never really taken to Mass, never formed at all in the faith. So you have that situation. This couple, you know, one of the couples is married, you know, baptized Catholic. The other one is not baptized or not Catholic, whatever. The couple has a child outside of wedlock. They're trying to do the right thing. They move in together to raise the child, and they know that they ought to get married. And so they're getting married outside of the church. This would be a circumstance, at least the Diocese of Allentown put it this way, and I think there's a reasonable thing here where you might encourage them to get married in the church, but you can still appreciate that they're at least trying to do the right thing. This would stand in stark contrast to just a couple who's just getting married outside the church for fun, just to have an outdoor wedding, but was raised Catholic. It would stand in stark contrast to a same-sex wedding. It would under any circumstances, as far as I'm concerned. It would also stand in stark contrast to the other example that they gave, which is a couple, say you have two people that you know. Let's say it's your aunt and uncle, because you got some wild family members, an aunt or an uncle, married. They commit adultery. They cheat on their spouse with another married person. They both get divorced. Your aunt and uncle in this circumstance obviously is Catholic. They then are trying to marry their mistress, or whatever the male version of a mistress is, and you're invited to the wedding. This would be a very obvious one that you cannot go to, right? There is nothing pastoral about this. The whole relationship is based on sin. It's destroyed two families. Like, this is not the same thing as like trying to do the right thing in a tough situation and trying to bring a nuclear family together. It's the pulling apart of two nuclear families to make a third one while leaving two destroyed in the past. Another thing that they gave that I thought was interesting was, even with the child out of wedlock situation, perhaps you would attend the wedding, but maybe you would still decline to be a groomsman if they were not getting married in the church, right? So there's different levels of participation in different things. So you can attend perhaps, but maybe you wouldn't attend and be in it, right? You're not going to like do a reading or sing a song or do something like that, or be in the bridal party if it's if you know that it's still problematic, but you're still willing to attend it. You're still willing to go. All of that's really important as well. So those are all my thoughts. I hope you enjoyed this. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have further thoughts, you think that I'm wrong or stupid. Oh, last thing I wanted to close with was another thing that sparked this conversation with me recently was the a post by my dear friend, Uncatechized Catholic, Desiree. She's going to be coming on the podcast here soon, and I'm really excited for that. I posted it. She had this whole thing on, should you attend the wedding? And yeah, she said many of the same points and made many of the same points I made here, but I want to just address a few of the comments. So let's dive into the comment section. Let's look at things Nathan hates on the internet for this week. All right, so boom, you know your boy commented on this, and I said, the people who sit at a wedding condone what is happening. There's no way around it. Faithful Catholics should not attend sinful, quote-unquote, ceremonies out of niceness. Sounds very on brand, doesn't it? Desiree said, amen, brother. The next person, John, says, it's a show of respect to the couple. In the same way you accompany an elderly person to their non-Catholic service, while the action taking place may not be in accordance with the doctrine, attendance is not an endorsement on behalf of the patrons. My response, disagree. A non-Catholic person attending a non-Catholic church service is not a sin. A man marrying a man is a sin. So to equate a faithful Catholic's attendance at these two events is dishonest, or at least seriously flawed. And this is what a lot of people will do. This is why arguing in comments is so, I mean, you get to, like, people are really dumb. And I don't mean that in like some condescending, like, I mean, there's no way it doesn't sound condescending, but people are dumb. It's just a reality. Like, people can't understand analogies properly. And so he's saying that this being at a wedding where a man is marrying a man, which is inherently sinful, especially if one is Catholic, but even if not, you're saying that's the same as it happening without you is a sin, right? Whether you attend that or not. a non-Catholic person, a Methodist going to a Methodist church service is not a sin. A Baptist going to a Baptist church is not a sin, right? Like an evangelical going to their evangelical church on Sunday, it may not be the fullness of the faith, but we're not going to call it a sin. So saying that you're going along with both of those things and it's the same thing, it's not. We make all these equivalencies and analogies, and when you argue with people, you see just people cannot communicate or reason. Like, we need to bring philosophy back to schools. It's just so important. Now, and let's go further here. It says, you think somebody else responded, Maureen, you think a Protestant wedding is sinful? Wow. And I said, your interpretation of me saying a non-Catholic person, aka a Protestant, attending a non-Catholic, aka Protestant service is not a sin, shows why our education system needs a total transformation. Another person asked me when I'm coming out of the closet, because apparently me sharing Catholic doctrine is it makes me gay. So you have that. I got that going for me, which is nice. Another person, Michael further down said, and this is why the Catholic Church is losing followers. This is fun. One of my favorite things that happens on the internet is non-Catholics or people that have fallen away from the church or never were Catholic addressing our problems for us. You know, like they're like, hey, you know, with just total ignorance of the fact that the church was thriving, vibrant, and growing when everybody believed what I'm saying, they are telling me that now it's just, it's the classic, like, your beliefs are just outdated. The book is outdated. So he says, this is why the church is losing followers. These cherry-picking random strictness from the Bible is ridiculous. First of all, as a Catholic, I don't only believe in the Bible. I also believe in sacred tradition. Sacred tradition teaches exactly what I'm saying. Another person says, that's a good way to make others think you're looking down on them because they're beneath you. Love each other as your neighbor without judgment. Support each other. This is nice Jesus. Nice Jesus is back now. And nice Jesus, I saw a really funny, the Babylon Bee, I think it was, did a YouTube video that was like, woke Jesus. I encourage watching it. If I remember, I will add it to the show notes. But this is nice Jesus. And nice Jesus just wants you to love each other. Nice Jesus says, you know, everything and everybody is good. And you should just follow your heart and follow your feelings. And if you do that, you just love each other, all will be made well. And I asked this person in response, I said, have you ever heard of the Spiritual Works of Mercy or read any one of St. Paul's letters in full? Oh, man. And you know what this person said in response? I was raised Catholic, which is an online favorite line, all-time favorite line. I'm going to share something that's a really, really bad idea, really illogical and really non-Christian. I was raised Catholic. But that doesn't mean I agree with everything that was taught. I'm not going to have a church tell me what weddings I can and cannot participate in and go to. Last time I checked, I have free will, which God gave me. God did give you your free will. He allows you to choose heaven or hell. It is your choice. It is up to you, my friend. You get to pick. But you saying I'm not going to have a church, I'm not going to have anybody tell me what to do, and I'm going to use my God-given free will to do what I think is right, not what God thinks is right, it's not a great way to go about it. I like my response to her. I'm just reading all my comments from this post now. I said, you do have free will with which you can sin, as you're suggesting, but it's certainly not recommended. Satan took the same approach, telling God, I will not do as you command. Then the next person, Wyatt, says, didn't the Pope say that homosexuality was okay? I thought he leads Catholics. What in the hell? What? What? You know, I don't consider myself much a Pope splainer. But I said to him, he said nothing remotely close to that. The church scripture and Pope Francis remain firm that homosexual acts are gravely sinful. And then it says, LGBTQ plus always seem to be less full of sin than your hateful crowd. This is what I think is so amazing. This has been my same experience with the feminists responding to my post, my reel about the Harrison situation. Is people are sitting here saying, oh, you're so hateful. You're so this and that. And it's like, what, how? I'm not going around here just saying like, you're definitely going to hell. Homosexuals are doomed. Like, they're terrible people. I didn't say any of that. I just said, based on what we believe, you shouldn't go to the wedding. And somehow that's hateful. It's very strange. Another person here said, let thou without sin cast the first stone, which, yeah, another thing that's just like, then St. Paul and St. Peter, St. John, like they just got it all wrong. Like immediately after Jesus died, they just misinterpreted a lot of what he taught because they condemned a lot of things and taught us to do the same and taught us not to affiliate and to associate with people who live those types of lives and said that certain people who live a certain way are going to hell and that we should tell people that so as to prevent them from going to hell if we actually love them and care about them. All right, last one here. This person, some boomer Catholic said, this is a disgusting take. This wasn't even to me. This was to Desiree's words. I don't know a single practicing Catholic who would agree with this take. Our priest doesn't even agree with it. My husband and I had a Catholic ceremony. All our siblings got married now, and none got married in the church. Are married now, and none got married in the church. It would have been absurd to not attend their weddings. It wasn't even a question in anyone's minds if we'd be there. And a response here from one of my Insta friends said, quote, I don't know a single practicing Catholic who would agree with this take, end quote. Maybe because you don't know any, Ben. I thought that was really funny. All right. God bless America. Hey, my friend, God bless you. We'd love to see you over on Locals if you want to join us there. I'd also invite you, if you'd like to watch these podcasts, we upload all of them now are available on YouTube. So everything's available on our YouTube channel, the Seeking Excellence YouTube channel. You can follow me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, I wouldn't follow me on Twitter. I don't post on Twitter, but Instagram and LinkedIn, I post a lot. So love to see you over there as well. If you have thoughts on this episode, please shoot me a message. Love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. And now it's time for you to go and be your best.